Before we open God's word, let's turn to him in prayer. Our Father, our God, we're thankful for this Sabbath day. We're thankful for this sanctuary, for the quietness from the world around, for the brethren that are here, the friends that are here, for thy word that's before us, and thy Holy Spirit present in the lives of those that have made a covenant relationship with you, and here, prepared with the words of life. So we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would speak, your word would speak, and we would be doers of it, not just hearers of it. That application could be found in each one of our lives as we look to serve you, to follow you, and to know you better. We pray for those that could not be here this afternoon for reasons known to you, especially those that are sick in need of your healing hand. We pray for them, Lord, that you provide a blessing too. And we pray it all in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's turn together to the Gospel according to St. Luke, 12th chapter. I'd just like to read a certain section of the chapter, starting with the 22nd verse. So Luke 12, starting with 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barns, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all his things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And be yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants, whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find thee so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good men of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord shall make ruler of his household and give them their portion of the meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the manservants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. We've read through. In August, when I was here the last time, I was also asked to have the afternoon service. I was thankful to see so many benches full. But when the preaching was over, the last song was sung, the friends were excused, I saw about 30% young, middle-aged, get up and leave the sanctuary. 30%. I don't know if that's the same number this afternoon. But I thought, what a picture of the fields white, ready to be harvested, low-hanging fruit, people, friends of the truth, that want to believe, that want to entrust their life to God. And they're here. They're not only here for the morning service, where we would expect everybody to come and might even see some newcomers from the community or friends from the neighborhood come or colleagues. But we've got people that come for the second service in the afternoon that takes a bit more effort. And they are a bit more committed. And so I'm speaking to you, my friend, this afternoon. And then I'm going to talk a little bit to the parents of our friends. And then we need to speak about the responsibility of the church. Because we have been given much. And the scripture says, much is going to be required of us. And what does that mean to us on an individual basis, on a family basis, on a church basis? We're all responsible here today, including me. My friend, you're responsible for what you've heard this morning, what you've heard for the last weeks and months and years you've attended this church. And if this is your first afternoon service, you heard it this morning. God's call to you to become a child of His, to enter into a covenant relationship with Him, that you no longer have to worry about the material things of life that we read here. But when we entrust everything to Him, He's going to care for everything. Because He knows everything. He knows our needs. He even knows our wants. But He promises to supply our needs. You can bank on that. There's lots of promises to that effect. And if you try God, He will prove Himself over and over. in that direction. So, my friend, if when you walk out of this sanctuary today, and the next thing you are is at the judgment seat of God, you are completely responsible for what you've heard this morning and what you're going to hear this afternoon. Are you prepared to surrender all? And say no to the lifestyle that you've lived before. But oh, I've been good. There might be several of you here that are young, and I understand the one that was just announced this morning is quite young, 14 or 15 of that age, and that's beautiful. To be able to recognize that there even was sin at such an early age in life, and you had to make it right with God, and you had to make it right with man, and by God's grace and by His shed blood, you could be redeemed. And you could enter into a covenant relationship with God that's sealed in His Son's blood. But as life goes on, it doesn't get easier. Life gets busier. The temptations get more attractive. The Bible says these things bring pleasure for a season. That's what sin does. But for a season. God wants to save you for a life eternal. If we're prepared to say no to sin and to say no to the ways of the world and say, Lord, I want to follow You. But I don't have the strength. And He says, I provide the strength. All You provide is the willingness to be molded and made into My image. As clay in the potter's hand, transforming our hearts and our minds into a new creature. Starting to see things the way God sees them. The rulers of the Jews back in the day said, these men are turning the world upside down. Guess what? The people of God have it right side up. It's the world that has it upside down. When they took it into their own hands, when our first fathers said, you know what? We're not going to listen. We're going to do our own thing. We're going to be disobedient. They turned the world upside down. It's not the way God wanted it. He knew it would be that way, but it was not the way He wanted it. He wanted to have a communion relationship with His creation. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. That would be possible. So my friend, if you want to know God intimately, and you want to have direction and purpose in your life, that's not only going to give you peace and joy, but will give you great meaning in life. As you follow His direction, then you need to surrender your life to Him. It's easy to say, sometimes not so easy to do. It depends on how serious you are with God. Because you got to remember that God's a jealous God. He will have no other God before Him. I don't care what that is. And you know what it's in your life that's between you and God that seems to take first place, and you put God maybe at second place, and that's why you're here this afternoon, because you're still grappling with the first and the second place. But you're here this afternoon because you want God to have first place. And you want to have victory of those things that seem to perplex you and seem to have your mind stayed on when you really should be thinking about what the Word is and what the Holy Spirit might be telling you, and Your mind is thinking about the world and what happened on Friday and the week before and maybe what's going to happen next week. And you've got these great thoughts of grandeur or maybe even simple thoughts, but they're not what God would have you to do. So you're grappling with those things. Don't. Leave them at the foot of the cross. Tell the Lord you don't know why, but you've heard his call and you want to respond and you're prepared to give up all. And ask him for the strength to do that, and he will do that. Now, there might be some here this afternoon that say, I have never heard God's call. Let me tell you, God talks many different. His call comes out many different ways. His call can come from just reading the scriptures. And you stop on a verse and say, wow, that's me. The Bible's talking to me. Make no mistake, that's God calling you. You could be in church and hearing the preacher speaking, and you think he's talking directly to you. That's God's call. Don't be mistaken. You might listen to the choir or a particular hymn, and the words all of a sudden mean something really special to you. That's God's call. And you might be just going for a walk and looking at God's handiwork, and you're saying to yourself, truly there is a God. And he's made it known to me in his handiwork. And that's God's call to you. And you need to respond. And now all of a sudden you have become responsible. What are you going to do with God's call? Because he only promises it once. Even though he calls many people dozens of times, hundreds of times, maybe even 1,000 times. I didn't convert till I was 24. I can distinctly remember dozens of times God calling me. In fact, when you get a little older, my dear friend, maybe when you're in your 20s, maybe when you're in your 30s, God's call gets distinctively quieter. It's harder to hear. You got to be really looking for it, really listening for it. I can remember when I was 23, and a powerful preacher that I knew always when he came, I would hear God's call. And guess what? I didn't hear God's call that day. The sermon didn't move me to tears or even move me at all. God was making it very clear that his voice is becoming quieter. And you might not be called again, Willie. And you might not have another opportunity to respond. But today, my friend, you were here. You heard God's call this morning. You're hearing it right now. Will you respond? You are responsible. When you come to the end of your life and you have still not responded, he will remind you of this very event, this very day, when you heard God's call, and the many other times. So beware of that. And if you have so much pride in your height like I did, where I didn't really want to bend my knee, why would I do that? The Bible says all will bend the knee before Almighty God. All. So you think you have so much pride in your life, you never do that, guess what? You're going to end up doing it. Pride has a way of delaying people in making that a very important decision. sometimes not only delays them, but causes them never to respond. What a sad situation. I've heard the testimonies from 14-year-olds, and I just heard a testimony from a man on his deathbed a week before he passed away. It's got that common thread. I heard God's call. I was a sinner. I recognized that. I understood that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But by God's grace and his son's shed blood, I was able to be made white as snow. And I could be at peace with myself because I'm at peace with God, which allowed me to be at peace with mankind. And my friend, you are responsible today. Moms and dads, the Lord has shouldered you with a lot of responsibility too. What happens in your household with your children? Deuteronomy tells us what we should be doing, and not just occasionally. Deuteronomy 6, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt speak of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. That sounds like a pretty continuous effort. Moms and dads, and I'm talking to myself too, because I'm a dad. How do we handle our children? Are we teaching them in everything we do about God? Are we directing everything back to God? Do they see that in our life? Do they see it to such a degree that they crave after it? They want it. They've seen that covenant relationship that mom and dad have made with God Almighty, and they want the same for themselves. When they hear God's call for the first time, mom and dad, do you know how to respond? Do you know how to nurture that call? Do you know what to tell them? And to embrace them. That's important. Their spiritual instruction is not coming firsthand from Sunday school or the sermons or the church. It needs to come around the kitchen table, or the bed in the evening or in the morning when we pray together. Spiritual instruction happens there. It's reinforced in Sunday school, reinforced in the sermons, but it happens at the foot of the bed when we kneel in the evening or in the morning with them and we pray together with them. We teach them how to pray. When we come around the breakfast table and they tell us about what they experienced in the evening or what they expect that day, what's the instruction that we're leaving them with? What are the guidance that we're giving them? Is it all pointing them to our Father in heaven? One day to make a relationship with Him, one day to cultivate a relationship with Him. It starts very young. We don't do that when God's first call to them comes. They need to hear that when they're very, very young. They need to see that when they're very, very young. And they need to know that God is the center of the marriage, that God is the center of the family, and that they should enjoy a relationship with Him also. Question is, am I like that? Do I spend the time? Or do we not have breakfast with our children? Do we not have dinner with our children? Quite often we don't have lunch together with our children except for maybe the weekend. But when do we spend quality time with them? Hopefully it's not in front of the screen or the smartphone. We can put all those things aside. Talk about real life. Moms and dads, we're responsible. God has given us these precious gifts. Are we taking it serious? Because we're going to have to give account for it before Almighty God. Don't let Satan rob them quick out of the house. You need to show them God's ways early on, that they might embrace it and enjoy it and strive for it. The church, we are also responsible. We're a body of believers that, as Ephesians 4 says, we're fitly joined together. We're a light in this dark world. Each one of our lives is. But as a body of believers, we should be bright and shining in this community. Do they see the love of Jesus Christ in the brethren here? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, by the love we have one for another. Is that evident everywhere? Not just in our families, but our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our workplaces. Is that real clear and real evident? The Lord is coming again, and we need to sound the trumpets and tell others. As individuals, but as a body of believers. This is a sanctuary. But it's only a sanctuary of believers when we are here. It's just an empty building. But when the brethren come together and the Holy Spirit's among us, it becomes a hedge for our friends to be able to come and to be able to get their questions answered, to get guidance and counsel. It's a place where the brethren can be encouraged and exhorted to a closer walk with the Father. As we explain to them the mission that God has for each one of us and as a body of believers. That we're not only, as the Apostle Peter said, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's expected. As Paul tells Timothy, study to show thyself approved. Study. It doesn't say read the Bible. It says study. A lot of difference there. Digging into the word, understanding the word, applying the word, and then explaining those experiences that you have as you've anchored your life in the word of God. This is what people need to hear. This is life-changing. They're floundering around in life without a purpose and meaning. They need to know that the Lord has given you great purpose and great meaning and great responsibility, and you've taken it by His strength and His strength alone. And if you think you can do it on your own, you're sadly mistaken. You'll fail every time. That's why it starts with your relationship with Almighty God. And when that's intact properly, all the other relationships come along. church is so very important. Encourages us to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Growing. It doesn't say we've obtained. Even the Apostle Paul says, I haven't yet obtained. But I'm striving each and every day. Are we encouraging one another to do that? And then it says we need to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Contend for. Know why we believe what we believe. Because there's so many twisted truths, half-truths, seemingly almost right, but not. And those seemingly truths, right truths, will not empower you to live a victorious life. Because when they're tested to the end, they fail. But God has given us great light and understanding in His Word. We should be thankful for that. And now we've become responsible for that. As God has taught us and instructed us, we need to adhere to that. Contending for the faith, the doctrines that Christ has left us with. Not the church practices, maybe the church order. We're starting service at 10 o'clock versus 11 o'clock. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about those things that are essential for not only the plan of salvation, but to live a victorious life. A life that's prepared, that when He comes again, we will not be found floundering. That we won't be found with our oil empty and our light. Or doing something that we shouldn't be doing. We take it serious. And we want to live it out every day. Not just on Sundays. Not just on Wednesdays. But every day of the week. Until He comes again. And then He tells us, not only as a body of believers, but as individuals, go ye into the world and tell them about the gospel message. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't wait for your other friend to ask you why you're different. Tell them. Tell them the experiences you've made. Share it with them. You don't know what they're struggling with. You might be able to help them. How many times in our church back home at lunchtime, we give time for testimonies, answers, prayers, and different people stand up and said, we prayed for this, and this is how the Lord answers. And all kinds of things like that. And some weeks we have one person that shares. Some weeks we have three and four people that share. And you know what that does? That strengthens each and every one that hears it. And it puts the adversary of our soul at shame. Because when we share what God has done in our life, that brings glory to God. And it's such a witness to the world that struggles with all kinds of questions. Share your experience. How the Lord leads you day in and day out. How He answers your prayers. And how He's got a promise for every situation you're in. And there's one more responsibility. There's probably a lot more, but that one that comes right away to my mind. Responsible as a church to care for our neighbor. There was that lawyer that said, who is my neighbor? And we know the account of the Samaritan. But we also know the account in Matthew 25 where he separates the sheep from the goats. When saw we thee thirsty or hungry or naked or in need of some visitation. Brothers and sisters, that's our responsibility too. When He lays something on our hearts to do, we should be doing it. He's expecting that. That's our responsibility. He provides the strength and the wherewithal to do it. But when He asks us, we need to do it. We're acting on His behalf. That's what the Scripture says. And you know what? Moms and dads, that shows a lot to the children. When we're prepared with the only gift that's really important, which is time, that He gives us, to invest it in God's work, it pays great dividends, great dividends. God says He'll bless more than you will ever know. At times in your life when you least expect it, that's a promise you can be assured of. So my friend, you're responsible for what you've heard today. You need to respond. You need to step forward and say, I want to make right with God, and I need some help to understand that and to do that. And you've got lots of brothers and sisters that can help you in that. And if not, you can just go right to the front two benches here, and they'll be glad to help you. And if not, your mom and dad can help you. They'll point you in the right direction. They'll tell you their experience. And in short order, I'd love to hear of 5 or 6 others that also claim to have peace with God and prepared for baptism. Moms and dads, including myself, we're responsible for the blessing that He's given us of children. Grandparents, you also fit in that boat too. And brothers and sisters that are still single, you've taken and mentored others under your wing. Remember that. You are responsible. Continue in the ways of the Lord. Show them, direct them, instruct them. They want to know. Sometimes they don't even know the right question to ask. Just explain it anyway. That's what I find with colleagues and people that I meet not too often. They don't even know the right question to ask, so just explain it anyway. I'm sure you'll be providing exactly what the Lord knows they need to hear. And that's the important thing. Because some plant, some water, some dig about, we all have a part. But we all have to be active. And we all become responsible. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be much required. The Lord has given us much. He's made us very responsible. How are we going to react and act?
Jesus said here in this chapter, "Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." Jesus is coming, and He's asking us to be prepared. We can be prepared because we have fulfilled the responsibilities that have been trusted to each and every one of us. We've heard about the responsibilities that are upon the shoulders of the unconverted, upon the parents, and upon the church. We have responsibilities to fulfill. When a soldier is in battle, His position is in the trenches, and he is in armament that would be appropriate for a warfare, and his weapon is warfare grade, and all these things are accrued to a soldier when he's in battle. For a believer, that warfare is simply upon our knees. We get upon our knees and we pray to God, who is almighty and who can do all things. And we look to him and we pray for each other. We pray for each other that we would all be strong in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That those that know thee not, that know him not, would be touched by his love, by his care and compassion. This is how we battle in this warfare, upon our knees. As the song says, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Let us fulfill the responsibilities that is ours. Truly much to us has been given. Much has been given unto us. We need to pray to the Almighty God that he would sustain us, that he would keep us from the evil that is in this world, that we would pray for the unconverted, that the influences that Satan has through devices, through friends, through school, through society, through media, that the influences of the Word would be much stronger than all of those. May God grant unto us that we would shoulder the responsibilities that are given unto us in prayer. Amen.